We're glad you could join us for lesson number 3 on the basic Christian life. In lesson 1, we studied the problem, which is sin. In lesson 2, we talked about the solution, salvation. And in this lesson, we're going to talk about the purpose, which is eternal life. Now, this lesson, like the other lessons, has 3 parts: the scripture study that tells us the truth of God's word, the basic questions which help us to apply that truth to our lives, and the memory verse which helps us to hide the truth into our hearts. You know, a lot of people think that the reason God came and died was to save us from hell so we could go to heaven. But we're going to find in this lesson that that is not his purpose. Yes, that is part of what salvation gives us, but his main purpose was for us to have fellowship with him. Question 1 asks, what is eternal life? And the scripture given is found in John 17:3. You know, a lot of people think eternal life is living forever. But John 17:3 says that eternal life is to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Now, the word know that's found there in the Greek, there's 2 words for know. One is to know with the mind or the intellect. The other one is to know as to have a relationship with, or an intimate relationship with, such as a husband and wife should have. And the word know here is that second word, the word know, that talks about having a relationship. So eternal life isn't living forever. It's having a eternal relationship with God. Now, that's the purpose for us being saved, is for us to have fellowship with him. Well, you know, if we're going to have a relationship with someone, it's good to know a little bit about them. And so what we're going to do through the rest of this lesson is look a little bit at what God is like and why he wants to have this relationship with us. Question 2 asks, who is God? Well, Isaiah 46:9 tells us very clearly that there's only one of him. There's not many gods. There's only one God. And Psalms 90 tells us that he has no beginning and no end. And Isaiah 57 tells us that he lives in eternity. He touches time, but he lives in eternity. So God is the only being without beginning or end, and he lives in eternity. That's who God is. That's the simplest definition of God. Now, he has many characteristics, and we're going to look at those, at least some of them, in a few minutes. But the simplest definition of who God is he is the only being without beginning or end. Now, how has he revealed himself to us? Well, Hebrews 1:1-2 tells us he's revealed himself to us through the prophets and through Jesus. Colossians 1:13-16 tells us that Jesus was the image of the invisible God. When Jesus was here, he showed us what God was like, not physically. We're not talking about physical. As you remember in the last couple lessons, we talked about the spiritual, the soul. That is what is eternal. Your soul will exist forever, either in fellowship with God and relationship with him and have eternal life, or in separation from him, which is eternal death. Now, you're going to exist forever, either alive or dead. And it's your choice whether or not you have given your heart to Jesus or not. So we need to understand that the image that Jesus portrayed was of the nature and character of God, not so much his physical appearance. Now, John 1:1-4 talks about the Word. Of course, Jesus was the Word. But God has revealed himself to us through the physical Word being present on earth, which was Jesus, and through the written Word, which he has given to us in his Word, the Bible. Now, Psalms 19:1-3 tells us another way that God reveals himself to us. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. day after day utters speech, night after night reveals knowledge. There is no language or speech where his voice is not heard. And what it says right here is God, through nature, speaks to the heart of every man. If we think of King David, there was not a lot of written word, and he wrote a good part of the Old Testament. Well, how did he learn the things? And he wrote this particular psalm. How did he learn these things? By his time alone with the sheep on the hillside. And he saw God. He looked at creation and saw the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so, because of his revelation through nature, and then I'm sure the Holy Spirit revealed things to him also, but God speaks to the heart of every person. And every man in his own language. That's the interesting thing about this scripture. He speaks to every man in his own language through nature. So how has God revealed himself to us? Through the prophets, through creation, through the Word, and through Jesus. Well, a question that a lot of people ask is Jesus God? Well, Isaiah 9:6 tells us that and calls him, you know, the mighty God. And in Hebrews 1:8, he's referred to as God speaks to Jesus and says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." John 20:28, Jesus receives the worship of Thomas as he kneels down and says, "My Lord and my God." So the scripture is very clear that Jesus was God and is God and needs to be worshipped as God. Now, how did Jesus say God would manifest himself after he went back to heaven? John 4:24 talks about the need to worship him in spirit and in truth. And in John 14:16-17, he tells us that he's going to give us the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, that will enable us and guide us and lead us into truth. In John 16:7-11, he says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So right now, God is speaking to every person. He has spoken to them through nature. He speaks to them by his Holy Spirit, convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So this God is seeking a relationship with every person and speaks to them in many different ways. And we need to hear what he has to say, and we need to do it, as we're going to find out toward the end of this lesson. Well, if you're going to have a relationship with someone, it helps to know a little bit about what they're like. And so right now we're going to look at some of the main characteristics of God. We can't possibly list all of them, but in question 6 we're going to look at 13 or 14 of his main characteristics. Jeremiah 23:23-24 tells us that he's everywhere. He fills heaven and earth. There's nowhere you can go to get away from God. And Job 42:2 tells us that nothing he wants to do can be stopped. He is all powerful. 1 John 3:20 tells us that he knows everything. So this God that we worship, that we follow, that we give control of our lives to, is everywhere. He's all-powerful, and he knows everything. Just those three alone, those three characteristics of God would just make you want to follow him. But he's more than just that. There's a lot of other things that God's like that helps us to want to relate to him, have fellowship with him, and want to follow him. And 1 John 4:16, he talks about that God is love. Now, when we talk about God is love, we're not talking about earthly type of love. We're talking about the heavenly kind, the kind that even loves its enemies and does good to those who hate him in an effort to bring them to repentance, in an effort to bring them to salvation. So he is love. 1 John 1:5 says he is light. Now, there's one thing about light. It reveals things. You know, a lot of people have this idea of God that he's trying to hide things from us. But the opposite is true. God wants to reveal to us his truth that we need to know. Now, he does try to keep us from knowing things that we don't need to know that are going to hinder us and hurt us. But it's not just to deprive us of knowledge. It's to keep us from being hurt and making mistakes. So God desires to reveal to us himself and his truth and how we can live for him. He is light. And when he's there, the darkness flees. A lie cannot stand in his presence. Isaiah 6 verse 3 tells us that God is holy. That means he's without sin and has nothing to do with sin. Psalms 103 verse 8 talks us about he's merciful and gracious. And there's two aspects right there. Mercy means that we don't receive what we deserve. And grace means we receive what we don't deserve. The things that we need that we can't earn, God gives to us. So he doesn't give us what we deserve and gives us the things that we don't deserve. So he's merciful and gracious. 1 Timothy 1:17 talks about God being wise, the only wise God. And that means not only does he know everything and have all this power and all, but he knows what to do with what he knows. He has wisdom in order to use his power and all for the greater good of all mankind. He's the only one that has that. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13 tells us that he's faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's faithful. He always does what he says he's going to do. If God says he's going to do something, you can trust in it. He will do it. Daniel 9, verse 14, talks about God being righteous. That means he always does the right thing. He never makes a mistake. Isn't it good to know? Well, Isaiah 45, 21 tells us that he's a just God and a Savior. This tells us about two of God's characteristics. One, that he is the judge, that sin must be judged, and he will judge that if we don't repent and receive his salvation. But he'd much rather be a Savior. He came and he died and he paid the price on the cross so that we could have salvation. And so he provides both of those. He provides judgment. That is part of his character. It's not what he likes to do, but it's necessary for dealing with sin. He provides judgment, but for those who will receive his salvation, he's a Savior. So he's both the judge and the Savior. Now, in Romans 8:33, it tells us that he justifies us. So not only does he save us, but he justifies us. He makes us as if we had never sinned. So these are the main characteristics of God. And as you read the word, you'll find out other characteristics that he has. But these help us to relate to him and know how to have fellowship with him and what he's like. Now, what is God's will for mankind? 2 Peter 3:9 says he doesn't want anybody to perish, to experience eternal death, but his desire is for everybody to come to repentance, and he's doing all that he can to see that happens. Why does God want men to repent? Well, 1 John chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, John talks about that God wants to have fellowship with him and with each other. He wants to have fellowship, a relationship with us. He wants to walk and talk and be in relationship with him day by day. And that's why he wants us to repent. Another thing that he wants to do as we have this fellowship with him is he wants to reveal his purposes. 2 Timothy 1:9 says we're saved and called with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his grace and purpose, which he established in Christ Jesus before time began. Now, before time began, God had a purpose for you. He knew where you'd be born. He knew the problems you'd face and all that. And he has a purpose for you. He will take whatever situation you're in and he will make it good. He will use it for his eternal kingdom and allow you to walk in eternal fellowship with him and to be rewarded with the rewards of those who are obedient to him. And question 10 tells us, what do we have to do in order to find and fulfill God's purpose for our lives? It asks that question in Philippians 2:12-13 talks about working out our salvation. And Hebrews 5:9 talks about the need to be in obedience to Him. So we have to be obedient to His Holy Spirit. He comes to us, speaks to us through His Word and the Holy Spirit, and we need to seek to walk in obedience to that in order to find and fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And if we don't obey Him, then we fail in that thing of finding Him and finding His purpose. But as we walk in daily fellowship with Him, then we have eternal life. We find His purpose, and we fulfill it in our life, and our life becomes a success no matter what we go through or what's happened to us. So we need to understand that the purpose for being saved is not just to go to heaven, but to have fellowship with God, walk with Him day by day, in obedience to His Holy Spirit, and fulfill His purpose for our lives. Well, let's look at our basic questions. Are you seeking to know God and Jesus Christ whom He sent? Are you just going to church and doing the religious duty? Or are you really trying to get to know God and what He has for your life and His purpose for you? If you haven't done that, you need to ask God to help you want to know Him better. Do you really believe God is all the Bible says He is? If not, you need to repent of your unbelief. And by faith, receive the fact that God is that all-knowing, perfect, righteous, wise, loving, all the things we talked about. He's all those things. And because of that, He's the best person to follow. He's the best person to give your life to and trust your life with. Are you seeking to live in fellowship with God? And if you're not, you need to begin to do that today. Do you desire to find and fulfill God's purpose for your life with all your heart? And if you don't, you need to do that right now. You know, half-hearted commitment will cause you to miss God, because the devil will always be there. I'm going to talk about that in the next lesson, but the devil will always be there to pull you away from God's purposes. So if you're not fully committed to finding and fulfilling His purposes, then you will miss God, and you will not find Him. So you need to be committed with all your heart to fulfilling His purpose for your life. Are you seeking to live in obedience to what Christ has commanded you to do? And if not, you need to, again, repent and seek God and ask Him to give you an obedient heart right now. Well, our memory verse, John 17:3, eternal life is to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. Do you know Him today? Are you living for Him? That's what life is all about. Well, we'll see you again for lesson number 4 on the basic Christian life.